Back, and I'm so glad that you decided to join us this evening. Take your Bibles tonight to the book of Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Jesus is preaching. He's coming to the conclusion of what they call the Sermon on the Mount. Now, he's covered a lot of things thus far in these chapters dealing with religious people. But now he makes an appeal to his listeners. Those he was speaking to, he's making a final appeal to him as we come down here near the end of chapter 7. I have encouraged tonight the preaching and teaching on a message called Heaven or Hell. Heaven or Hell. Choose God and you'll inherit eternal life. And so I want to encourage you to do that tonight if you do not know God as your personal Savior. Let us stand for the reading of God's Holy Word, Matthew chapter 7. We'll pick up the reading in verse 13, Heaven or Hell. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, Jesus speaking. He says, "Enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be who go in that way, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Join me in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we bow before you tonight, as we go over once again the words of Jesus penned down for us many years ago, we thank you for preserving your word and allowing us to hear it and to see it. And I would pray, God, that you would speak to our hearts. I pray that our hearts would be open to your word, that we would hear it and that we would heed it, that we would all choose heaven to be our final home. And Lord, we thank you for the precious Son that you've given to us, who came to earth as a babe in a manger, who died as a man on a cross, who was buried and rose again. He's on your right hand even this moment, interceding for us. And we thank you for this great work, and I would pray that all of our minds would be able to understand your message. And we pray this in your precious Son's name. Amen. You may be seated. Heaven or hell? First, I want you to notice in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, that we are given two choices. You'll notice those two choices of verse 13. There is two different gates there. There's what I call the straight gate and the other one called the wide gate. Now, the word straight there does not refer to something we would think of as straight as an arrow. You'll notice the word there is a word that means a narrow gate. If you've ever been to what I call the Straits of Gibraltar, you ever been to Straits of Gibraltar? Anyone here? There's a pastor, he's been there. If you've ever been there, right across from Spain, going into Morocco, is where the landmass comes close together, and there's that prudential rock. You've ever seen the commercial on television. And there is the Straits of Gibraltar, because between the Atlantic Ocean and the Mediterranean Sea, the land comes in and you can see land across, and it's just a narrow pathway as you bring those large ships into the Mediterranean Sea from the Atlantic Ocean. So when we talk about a strait, we're talking about a narrow way or a narrow gate. So we have for us, as Jesus is closing down his message, he's giving to us these two gates. A narrow gate and a wide gate. Now I want you to notice in verse 13 what Jesus did. Jesus gave an invitation to those who were listening to enter in, to come in, to go in to that narrow gate. And an invitation given by him requires a response. When he gave that message to his people, as they heard that message, they could have responded and entered into that narrow gate. They could have sat there and said, "Well, I'll think about this." Well, that is a decision that they have made. That decision of no response at all is a decision not to go into the gate. Maybe they decided, "I don't want to go in that gate. And so I'm just going to make this decision to stay in the wide gate," as Jesus spoke about it. But whatever decision that we make, it is important to know that there are two gates. And if we don't go through the narrow gate, we stay out from what God wants us to do. And he says to enter in. So I give to you today that the way to heaven is on God's terms alone. The way to hell is on any other terms, because any other way leads to damnation. Now I'm giving you some strong terms tonight, but these terms are right out of the Word of God. And when we're talking about heaven and hell, it's a strong message. We've got to realize that people are dying every day and they're either dropping into hell or they're going to heaven, one or the other. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord for those who put their faith in Christ. But if a person dies without Christ, the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. And there's no hope after a person closes their eyes for the final time. They need to receive Christ while they're alive. So Jesus gives us the choice here of entering His kingdom or not. And every person must make the decision on which gate he's going to enter in and which way he's going to go. Our lives every day are filled with decisions. We make multiple and multiple decisions every day. But the greatest decision in our life is the decision that we make regarding the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I asked you tonight, what kind of decision have you made about Him? What kind of decision have you made in regards to the Lord Jesus Christ? It is the ultimate choice that determines the eternal destiny of a soul, whether it goes to heaven or whether it goes to hell. And God has always allowed men to choose. God has always pleaded with man to choose Him or face the consequences. God does not desire for any man to perish, but for all men to come to repentance. And God has made every effort. He's made every effort, and He spared no cost in making salvation possible for all men and for all women. And God made His choice by providing the way of salvation, by sending down to this earth His only Son, by allowing His Son to live on the face of this earth and face all kinds of things and then to die for our sins, your sins and my sins. When He was hung up on the cross and there He voluntarily gave up His life, nobody took His life from Him. If He wanted to, He could have called 10,000 angels down and wiped the people off the face of the earth. He voluntarily gave His life. He voluntarily died to pay the price for your sins and my sins. And they buried Him, and out from the tomb He came again, resurrected over sin and over death. We praise the Lord for the good works that He has done through His Son. But the choice is now man's. Deuteronomy says these words, "I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death. Choose life." Joshua in the Bible says this, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." 1 Kings, Elijah asked the group of people, "How long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him." See, a decision has to be made because an invitation was given, and Jesus gave that invitation for these folks. Decide now to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And this is the place that most good churches and most good preachers and most good Christians and most good Sunday school teachers, this is the very area they fail. They fail to give an invitation to those that are in their presence. It's one thing to tell people about Christ. It's one thing to tell them about the love of God. It's one thing to tell them about the consequences of sin. But we must give an invitation so that they can receive, that they can come in. We must give that invitation. We can talk till we're blue in the face, but until we invite them to receive Christ, many of them will sit there and listen. Some in and under conviction of the Holy Spirit because of their sin. They must be invited. Sometimes we're not seeing anybody saved in Sunday school because our Sunday school teachers are not giving an invitation for the young people to come to know Christ. Sometimes there are people who are sitting in church or even come to a funeral, and there the gospel is given, and they hear the gospel, and they understand the gospel, and they want the gospel, but the preacher never gives them an opportunity to invite Christ in their life. We need to give people an opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, and oftentimes the very words are there on our lips, and we can invite them. And then they have a decision to make. Oftentimes we take that decision-making process from them because we don't invite them. Jesus invited them. An invitation here to enter in, Jesus gave, but it's oftentimes lacking in our messages. And one of the reasons no one is led to the Lord is because oftentimes we don't invite them to receive Him. Now the choice here is between this choice that Jesus gave here in verses 13 and 14. The choice is between the one way and the many. The choice is between the one right way and the many wrong ways. The choice here is between the one true way and the many false ways. But I give to you that there's only one road to heaven. I don't care what you've heard all over the face of this land. I don't care what you've heard in pulpits. The Bible teaches there is only one way to God. There are many religions. There are many beliefs. There are many sincere people and sincere churches. But there is only one gate that leads to life. But one. The fact is, there are two gates. We see those two gates here in verses 13 and 14. One leads to life, one leads to heaven, and the other leads to destruction, it leads to hell. Heaven or hell, it's our choice. Now I want you to notice something else in verse 13. Jesus, when he said to enter in at the narrow gate, Jesus did not suggest that people come in. Jesus commanded people to enter in. He said, enter in! That's what he said. In the Greek, this is exactly what it means. He commanded the people to enter in the straight gate. He didn't ask them. He didn't suggest to them. He commanded them to enter in. You remember what Jesus also said in John chapter 3 when he was speaking with a smart man by the name of Nicodemus. He said, you must be born again. He didn't say you may be born again. You need to be. He said you must be born again or you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. When Jesus gives a command, we must obey. If we don't obey the command, that's called disobedience. And so the Bible says here, he said, enter in. Too many people stand outside the gate. Too many people are holding their Bibles. Too many people are quoting scriptures. They're relying upon their good works. They are relying upon their baptism. They're relying upon their communion. They're relying upon their church certificate to get them to heaven. But I want to remind you right here in this very chapter in verse 21, the Bible says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not done this and have we not done that? And you look at verse 23, what Jesus said. He said, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Now, folks, we need to listen to the seriousness of this message. Jesus commands us to enter in this special gate, this narrow gate, this straight gate. People, we must enter the right gate because it is the only gate that leads to life. It's the only gate that leads to heaven. And that gate is Jesus Christ, and it's Him alone. Jesus said these words in John chapter 14 and verse 6. He says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. When we preach and when we teach and when we witness that Jesus Christ is the only way to God, we may be called narrow-minded. But I give to you that we are as narrow as the Bible. This is the message from God's holy word, and we just confuse people. And we doom people when we tell them that there are many ways to God. That is not what the Bible teaches. People, the reason I preach the narrow way is because it is God's way and God's only way for men to find salvation and eternal life. John chapter 10, the Bible said, Jesus speaking, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. The Bible states that Jesus is the only way. He is the exclusive way of salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other. Acts chapter 4 verse 12. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that name is the name of Jesus. It's the name of Jesus Christ. There is one God, 1 Timothy says. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. The only way we can get to God the Father, the only way we can get to heaven, the only way that we can be saved, the only Savior of the world is Jesus Christ. And His shed blood on the cross of Calvary, His burial, and His resurrection. You know, the narrow gospel, as we find here in the Word of God, is the only gospel to save people, and it's the only gospel there is. The person who enters the narrow gate, listen, my dear friends, the person who enters the narrow gate will enter the gate alone. You cannot go to heaven on the shirt tails of your mother. You cannot go to heaven on the shirt tails of your father or the shirt tails of your grandparents or the shirt tails of a preacher. Now your mother and your father, they may point you to the gate. And your preacher may point you to the gate, but you as an individual must enter that gate. You must receive Christ as your personal Savior. You must step through by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You must believe on Him. Whosoever shall call upon Him shall be saved. You must individually enter that gate. Jesus said, enter in. All those who did not are going to destruction. All those who entered in are going to have life everlasting. He said, enter in. Enter in. He didn't ask them. He told them, enter in. Those who refuse is on the broad way that leadeth to destruction. Many people believe that being in a church somehow qualifies them for heaven. Many people believe that God is too kind and He's too loving that He would never send anyone to hell. Listen, my dear friends, I'm going to tell you something. Hell was not created for human beings. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. And those who go to hell because of their own determination and their own choice. They go there because of their own determination and their own choice. Folks, we must come to God on His terms. And God's greatest longing is that everyone enters in. He does not desire that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Those are His words, that all should come to repentance. Paul preached these words in Acts chapter 20, verse 21. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul preached again in Acts chapter 17, and he wrote down, God commendeth all men everywhere to repent. Listen to it again. He commendeth all men everywhere to repent. Turning from our sin and our way and this broad road and this broad gate that most people are on, turning away from that and turning to the narrow gate and the Lord Jesus Christ, turning away from my sin and turning to the Savior, that's the decision that needs to be made in our life. That's salvation, leaving the broad way and going the narrow way. A heart is a changed heart. A saved life is a transformed life. You know, we live, my dear friends, in a day of what I call easy believism. We have these fellows that are on television and these preachers that are behind pulpit, and they'll say this, just say this little prayer after me, and they'll say, I believe in the Lord Jesus. Amen. You said that prayer. You're in. You're saved. And there are people all over our land today that have said a little prayer. They've walked a little aisle. They signed their name on some dotted line, and they have this hope that they're going to go to heaven. And you go knock on their door and you ask them, tell me how you know you're going to go to heaven. And they'll tell you all kinds of reasons why they think they're going to go to heaven except for the biblical reasons. So I asked you tonight, if somebody knocked on your door and asked you why you're going to heaven, could you give them the biblical reason why you can go to heaven? Would you say to them, you're a good person? Would you say to them, you're a church member? I'm saying to you that none of those things can get you to heaven. There's only one person that can get you to heaven. His name is Jesus Christ. And we don't deserve heaven, do we? We're sinners. We're unclean, undone. But thanks be to God that He's provided a Savior for us. We live in a day when people have a knowledge of Christ and they also have a knowledge of what He's done. But a knowledge is not enough. Just knowing about something and never responding to it is not enough. Yes, I see a little girl choking here. She's choking here, but I'm going to stay right here. That ain't going to help that little girl. I got to respond. And here's the message. The message is given. I got to respond to that message. I got to respond by faith. Now the two gates, if you notice here in verses 13 and 14, they lead two different ways. The Bible says in verse 13 that the wide gate leads to a broad way. It says the narrow gate, if you'll notice in verse 14, or the straight gate, leads to a narrow way. Now the narrow way is what I would call the godly way, and the broad way is the ungodly way, but these are the only two ways which men can travel. So I ask you tonight, are you on the narrow way or are you on the broad way? You're either on one or the other, and there's no others to choose from. You're either saved or you're unsaved. You're either in or you're out. You're either a saint or an ain't. That's all there is. The way that is broad, my dear friends, the way that is broad is the easy way. That is the popular way. And most of the people, if you notice in verse 13, it says here, and many there be who go in that way. So most of the people are on this broad way. It is an attractive way. It is an inclusive way. It is an indulgent way. It's a permissive and selfish way. It's the way of the world. There are few rules. There are few restrictions. There are few requirements. Sin is tolerated. Sin is loved. Truth is moderated. Truth is compromised. God's word is praised, possibly, but not oftentimes followed. His standards are looked at, but not put into their life. This way requires no spiritual maturity. It requires no moral character. It requires no commitment. It requires no sacrifice. It is the easy way of life. It's just like a leaf that has fallen from a tree and landed in a river. And wherever the river goes, that's where that individual goes. Whatever the world does, they're in line with what the world does. That is the broad way of life. And when you go out to this highway and you see those cars shooting up and down Highway 80, Interstate 80, that's the broad way. It's the way everyone goes. It is the easy way, according to the Word of God. It is the tragic way, which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs chapter 14. The Bible says in verse 14, the narrow way, the path of the Bible way, is the old path. This is the path that all of us have walked on in the years after Christ. They've been walking on this path in 100 and 300 and 1100 and 1800 and now the 2010. This is the same path. It's the same message. It's the same Savior. It's the same gospel. This is the path that we must walk on. I give to you that this path of life, this narrow path, it is a demanding path. When we think about entering into the gate, sometimes we look beyond the gate and we see the path, and the pathway is hard. The pathway is a pathway of self-denial, of taking up our own cross and following Him. So we do need to count the cost. I appreciate those individuals who take a look and say, you know, this Christianity is going to cost me something. And it does. It causes us to put away our life and to take up His living. Causes us to deny ourselves and allow Him to live through us. And a person who comes into Christianity needs to understand that and see that. So many times we make so many promises to these believers. Look, you come to Christ and your whole life will be better. And it'll be a bed of roses for you. And you'll have all this health and all this wealth and all this great stuff. I mean, you won't have any problems if you come to Christ. That's a lie. That's a lie. Jesus didn't promise a bed of roses. He promised us trouble. But He also promised us eternal life. And He told us that the troubles that we'll be in this life are but temporary. Brother over here is going for surgery tomorrow. I'm glad it's him and not me. Man, I can't imagine going through what you're going to go through tomorrow. But he's going to go through it. And it's temporary. There is an eternal. We're here but a few short years. Can you imagine what eternity is going to be like? Hundreds and hundreds and thousands, millions of years with God. I'm going to speak on that on Wednesday night. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. I want you to notice the Bible says here in verse 14, the Bible says, and it's a fact, that few are those who find this way. Do you see that? See it there in verse 14? It says, few there be that find it. I want to say to you that no one stumbles into the kingdom of God. No one backs up, beep, 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 backs up into the kingdom of God. No one wanders through the narrow gate or the straight gate by accident. To enter God's gate takes a conscience, takes a purposeful mental decision. The kingdom is for those who are humble in spirit, who cry over their sin, who hunger and thirst for God's righteousness. Heaven is for those who will sell all that they have for what Jesus called the great pearl of great price, which was Him in salvation. I'll turn away from all this to come over here to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one and only Savior of my soul, the pearl of great price. It is not for those who want a cheap and easy way of salvation. It is not for those who say, I want some fire insurance. See, this is often the mentality. We are Americans and we like to have all of our insurances. We got insurances on our television. We got insurance on our vehicles. We got insurance on everything. So we want to have insurance on our soul too. So I'll pray that prayer. I'll ask Jesus to save me so I have a little fire insurance. I'm going to live like I want to live. I'm going to do what I want to do. If I curse God's name, that's okay. If I curse Christ, that's okay, but I'm going to go ahead and pray this little prayer so I'll have a little fire insurance. That's not Christianity, my dear friends. It's not for those who continue to live in their own selfish and worldly way of this earth. God's way of salvation, I give to you, is very simple, but the commitment is high. The seriousness of deciding to follow Jesus means you have to forsake all others and cling only to Him. You can't come to Christ and be holding on to something else and holding on to this and saying, I want Christ, but just in case, I'm going to hold on to this too. And just in case Christ is not real and maybe this is not the only, I'll have a couple of things just in case we get there. It's Him and Him alone. The person who says yes to Christ must also say no to the things of the world. So these two gates lead to two ways, which lead to two destinations. There is nothing said here that would indicate that this broad road has any signs stuck up along the way saying danger. You listen to the signs on the Broadway, they probably have signs that are written like this. This is the way, walk in it. The signs on the Broadway say, enjoy life. There's an old beer commercial. Why did it go? Get all the gusto you can get, right? Indulge yourself. The signs on the Broadway says, hey, everybody's going this way. Come along. The broad road leads to destruction, whereas the narrow way leads to life. Don't be fooled, my dear friends. Every religion except Christianity leads to a devil's hell. The broad road is attractive, appealing, and crowded with travelers. And Jesus said that broad road leads to destruction. When He said destruction here, this word does not refer to extinction, does not refer to annihilation, but to total ruin and to total loss. And we're going to talk about this place tomorrow when we look at the horrors of hell. Destruction is the destination of all those who follow any other way but God's. It is the destination of hell. It is the everlasting torment the Bible speaks about. The wicked, the way of the wicked, the Bible says, shall perish in Psalm chapter 1, verse 6. But God's way, that narrow gate, the narrow way, leads to eternal life. It leads to everlasting fellowship with God, His angels, and His people. Now, folks, I want to give you one last thing. Believers are not few in number, because the gate is too narrow or too small to accommodate more. There is no limit to the number that can enter in at the narrow gate. Jesus said these words, "The one who comes unto me, I will in no wise cast out." My wife sang tonight, "There's room at the cross for you." That's Bible truth. Because Jesus Christ, when He shed His blood, the Bible says, in a propitiation for His sin, He died for all sin, paid the price for all sin, of all people. Then why don't all people go to heaven, preacher? Only those who have taken the blood of Christ and applied it to their sins will go to heaven. So I ask you tonight, have you personally come to Christ? Have you made a conscious decision to receive Christ as your personal Savior? Have you done that? If you are unsure, if you're hoping that you'll make heaven, if you're not sure if you would die to go to heaven, listen, the Bible wants you to know for sure, and the Bible says you can know for sure. 1 John chapter 5, verses 11, 12, and 13. He that hath a son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. I'm asking you tonight, have you received personally the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you applied His blood to your sin? And receive the forgiveness of God. Oh, God says He'll take those sins and plunge them in the ocean. That He'll plunge them as far as the east is from the west, and they'll be remembered no more. The blood of Christ is the only detergent that can wash away our sins. Now, we can try to cover them up. We can try to forget about them. But those sins are with us until Christ washes them away. You can either stand before God with Christ, or you're going to stand before God without Christ. And no person, listen to me, no person who stands before God without Christ is going to enter into His heaven. There's called a great white throne judgment. Anybody that's in that line is in trouble. Because all of those folks will go to hell. We must have Christ as our personal Savior. Have you invited Him? Have you called on Him? Do you know Him as your personal Savior? Let me remind you what He said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 23. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Does He know you tonight? Do you know Him? Is He your personal Savior? Let us stand to our feet for closing invitation. Please, all eyes closed. You might be here tonight and say, Pastor, I've been in church for 50 years and I've never called on Him to save me. Listen, don't let pride get in your way tonight. Don't let thoughts, I trusted Christ. Listen, if you die and you're thinking and you don't know, the opportunity for you is to go to the other direction. You can't trust in some old thought. You got to know. You can make sure tonight. How many of you would say honestly tonight, by raised hand, no one looking around, please, no one looking around, every eye closed. How many of you would say honestly, Pastor, I came to God on His terms and I entered His gate of salvation. I've already done that through Jesus Christ. How many would put your hand up and say, that's true of me? Praise the Lord. Many of you. Thank you. How many tonight would say, Pastor, I want to enter in that straight gate. I want to enter the narrow gate. I want to accept Jesus Christ and accept His invitation to me to enter in. Every eye closed, no one looking around. Is there anyone like that tonight who want to receive Christ as their personal Savior? Anyone tonight? Praise the Lord. Let us pray. I want to encourage you, if you desire to receive Christ tonight, cry out to Him in your heart. Please don't pray to me. I can't help you. I can lead you to the gate, but you've got to enter in. You can cry out from your heart right where you're standing and say to Him something to this effect, Oh God, I know that I'm a sinner. Oh God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Will you cry out to Him like that? Will you tell Him that you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, shed His blood for your sins? Will you confess that you believe that He was buried and He rose again? Will you confess that to Him? Cry out to Him in your prayer the best that you know how. Call on Him. He said if you'd call on Him, if you'd believe on Him, you shall be saved. You'll be delivered. You'll be delivered from sin and from eternal hell. Whatever the Lord has spoken to you about, I want to encourage you to respond to Him. Believers, let me ask you tonight about our zeal for lost people. Do we have that zeal for lost people that are around us that are without the Lord Jesus? Do we have compassion for souls? Jesus said that if we followed Him, that He would make us fishers of men. Fishers of men's souls. So I ask tonight, dear believers, are we fishing for souls? Are we sharing the gospel? Are we inviting people to Christ and inviting people to church to hear about Christ? Are we actively inviting? Whatever God has spoken to our hearts about tonight, let's go to Him in private, sincere prayer. Let's come before our God tonight. If you need Him to be your Savior, call on Him. Enter in at the narrow gate tonight. If you're a believer, thank Him for your salvation. Praise Him for your salvation. And pray for the lost souls that are around us in this community and around the world. Let us pray quietly and individually. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we bow before You tonight, Lord, I ask for the souls of this county, souls of these little cities dotted out through Nebraska. God, give us a heart, not just of passion, but of compassion toward the lost people. Help us as You open doors for us, help us to step through those doors and give out the precious gospel message of Your Son. Help us to pass out gospel tracts. Help us to give invitation to church. Help this church and other churches to give out the gospel message that when they come, they might hear and receive your Son as their Savior. Thank you for changing our life. Thank you for changing our destination. Thank you for giving us eternal life. We praise you, O Lord. Help us as a church to do the work that you've called us to do. And we pray this in your precious Son's name, and all of God's people say, Amen. Are you going to sing that song tonight, I've Decided to Follow Jesus? You know what number that is?